invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. I told you this morning that tonight's message was going to be a little different and a little more practicality. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. If your family did not get one of the countdown to Christmas calendars, please make sure you get one before you leave. That reading plan starts tomorrow and counts down to Christmas Day. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you. Somebody asked me this morning if that was an Advent calendar, and technically I suppose it is. Some people don't like the word Advent, but that's just a Latin word. It comes from the Latin word Adventus. It means the appearing or coming. And so if you see something about Advent, what it means is it's the coming of Christ. And so we look back to rejoice this time of year at the first Advent, the first coming of Christ in his birth. And we are looking forward to the second advent of Christ, his second coming, and before that, the rapture. So Jesus came, and he is surely coming again. And we rejoice, we celebrate his birth, and we long for looking to that glorious appearing of our Savior when he comes again. I believe that spending time in the Word of God every day is vital for the Christian. Spending time in the Word of God is vital to be a true disciple. We have to continue or abide in the Word of God. And I think that most of us need a little help with that sometimes. I think if we were all honest, we would say, my daily time alone with God in the Word of God always needs improving. Is that fair? If you've never had a daily time in the Word of God, or you've been having a daily time in the Word of God your whole Christian life, some of us didn't grow up with that, and it's still new to some of us, myself included. It's not something I grew up doing, and so I always want to learn ways to do better with that, so I want to share some practicalities with you tonight. So we're going to pray, we're going to read one verse to get started tonight, and then learn some practicalities about spending time alone with God. You guys ready? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. It's been a joy to gather with the saints today, and to study the Word of God together, to pray together, to sing your praises together. And I thank you, Lord, for this local church that you've assembled, you've put us together. I pray that we would be truly a body of Christ, joined together as you've placed us in this body, that we would be joined together fitly, that we would supply one another and encourage one another and grow together and move and function and serve you as a faithful body of believers. I pray that you'll help me tonight, that you'll bless your word. I pray that you'll give us a heart and a desire to walk with you every day. And Lord, as I have failed so much of my Christian life in spending time with you and your word every day, I pray you'd forgive me. And I pray that you would help all of us to love you and to love your word and to make it the priority of our life to walk with Jesus day by day. I pray that the things we study tonight will be beneficial to everyone who hears, and you'll help us to grow and walk with you day by day as genuine disciples. And we pray it all for the glory of Jesus, and in his name, amen. Amen. Acts 17:11. You guys have seen this verse. You've heard it mentioned many times. And just a reminder tonight, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You guys remember where this was? Berea. Have you ever heard that before? Be a Berean. You've seen it maybe on a church sign. Be a Berean. The idea is to be someone who searches the scriptures daily. And so when the missionaries went to Thessalonica, they preached the word, and some believed and some didn't. They got run out of town. When they came to Berea, the Bible says that the people in Berea were more noble than the people in Thessalonica. Mm-hmm, that's a word. They were more noble than them because they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready to hear the word of God. They were ready to know what it said, but then they didn't just take the apostles and missionaries' word for it, but they searched the scriptures. How often? Daily. Let's try that one more time. How often? Daily. Good job, class. Gold stars all around. All right? This is kind of going to be an interactive message, so you'll have to stay awake. It's a great idea. So they searched the scriptures every day to see whether what the preacher said was true or not. By the way, you ought to do that. I have never asked you to take my word for it, and if I ever do ask you to take my word for it, you can fire me on the spot. Amen? I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to search the scriptures to see whether these things are true. If you're a believer, who lives inside of you? Yeah, the Holy Spirit of God does, and the Spirit of God who indwells you, Jesus said when he came, he would be the comforter who would guide you into all truth, that the Spirit of God would teach you all things. And so if you're a Christian, if you're born again, the Spirit of God is in you, and he will teach you, he will guide you into truth. And though we are thankful to have Bible teachers, come on, people, we're thankful to have pastors and teachers. Or maybe you're not, I don't know. Thankful to have people who teach us the Word of God, we also need to search the Scriptures on our own. And we ought to do that every day. Now, I mention this verse all the time, and I'm going to mention it again tonight. John 8, 31 and 32. If you don't have this highlighted in your Bible or in your Bible app, I plead with you to mark this down. But John 8, 31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, "You believe. That's great. That's all I want. Just believe." Right? Is that what he said? No, it's not what he said. He said to the Jews that believed, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples." Now, do you want to be a true disciple of Jesus? Then what you have to do is continue in his word. That word continue is also translated abide. It's also translated dwell. And so the idea is, this is where you live. This is where you, if for people from Vianne, we say this is where you stay. You want to know where somebody lives at in Vianne? You say, where you stay at. And that's true. You can ask my wife. She'll verify. This is where you stay. This is where you abide. This is where you dwell. This is where you continue. Your life continues in the Word of God. So believing in Jesus is absolutely necessary. You cannot have life if you don't believe in Jesus. But believing in Jesus is not the finish line. Believing in Jesus is the starting point. And from there, we continue in the Word. And listen, as much as I want to teach you, as much as I want to help you, as much as I want to instruct you in the ways of God, I can't live the Christian life for you. You have to have your own personal walk with God, and that happens through time in the Word of God. We're all in agreement. Okay, so we want to continue in the Word. Jesus says in John 5, 37 to 39, John 5, 37 to 39, "The Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Jesus said to the Jews that didn't believe on him, he said, "You don't know God, you haven't seen God, and the reason you don't know the Father is because you didn't believe the one who he sent." Jesus said, "You haven't believed in me, and that's why you don't have his word in you." So not only do we want to abide in his word, we need his word to abide in us. And one pastor says it like this all the time. You need to get in the word of God until it gets in you. Get in the Word until it gets in you. Now, that's good, because we can spend time reading the Bible and it doesn't really sink in sometimes. We can have a reading list like we've given you for this next month or so, a few weeks. You can have a reading list and you can check it off. You can check your boxes and the Word doesn't get in you. But you need to get into the Word until it gets in you. I think the same thing's true about prayer. Sometimes you have to pray till you actually pray. Some of you nodded your head because you get that. Some of you don't know what I'm saying. What do you mean pray till you pray? I mean, sometimes we're saying words in our mind or our heart or with our mouths to God, but we're not actually praying. We're just saying words. But sometimes if you'll pray, and keep praying, then what, something happens, something changes to where you move from this action that's happening to an actual spiritual experience where you're actually communing with God, to where you're actually talking to God, to where you actually have a real spiritual connection with your Heavenly Father. And it's not automatic for most of us. Most of it's a wrestling match where we're wrestling with our carnal mind and our flesh, and we're trying to get in the Spirit. By the way, that's why the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit, because you can do those things in the flesh. Or you can pray until you're actually praying. And you can get in the Word until it actually gets in you. The dream behind the message tonight is that's what we would do. That for those of you who have been practicing walking with God every day, you have your, whatever you want to call it, devotional time or quiet time or whatever you want to label you want to give it. Some of you have been doing it for a long time and you're faithful in it. Some of you have never done it before. And some of you have been hit and miss in your Christian life. And the dream with this countdown to Christmas reading plan is that all of us would end this year well by spending time in the Word of God every day between here and Christmas, and that as we end this year in the Word of God every day, we would just continue that into the new year. Amen. That we would develop practices that are part of our life that will help us to walk with God. Amen. Now, I'm going to share with you an acronym. Some of you were in the military, and you love and appreciate acronyms. Some of you weren't in the military and you don't care, but I like acronyms because they help us to remember things. And so I'm going to give you an acronym, and the acronym is HEAR, H-E-A-R. And for all of my favorite students who take notes, you can write that down, H-E-A-R. I'm just kidding, you're not my favorites, I just like you better. That's a joke too, don't go getting your feelings hurt. It's good to take notes because it helps us to remember. This is something I learned from a pastor named Robbie Gallaty. He's has a ministry called Replicate Ministries. It's all about making disciples who make disciples. And they developed this years ago to help people in their church remember and to have a method for studying their Bible every day. And so I want to share this with you. Maybe it'll be some help to you. Maybe you've already got your own method, and that's fine. But for those of you who don't have a method, it's good for us to have a process sometime to walk through. Now, hang on just a second. Time out. We need to be careful that processes don't become checking boxes. We need to be careful of that. But at the same time, methods sometimes can be helpful for us to get in the Word until it gets into us. And so I just hope it'll be a help. Before you do anything in your quiet time, you ought to pray and ask God to speak to you, and ask God to help you. Do you guys remember 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. It's cool, it's open book. If you don't remember it, it'll be right here on the screen or in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So if I'm going to understand biblical truths, spiritual truths, then I'm going to need the help of the Spirit of God. So before we do anything else in our quiet time, we need to pray and ask God to speak to us. So every day, and I highly recommend in the morning, you get alone with God, you get your Bible out, you get a notebook out, and you spend time in prayer asking God to speak to you and teach you. Okay? And then we get into the hear part. The letter H stands for highlight. So you would take your Bible reading plan that we have provided for you, say tomorrow morning, and you would open up the Bible, you would pray and ask God to speak to you and guide you, You would pray maybe like David did, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And then you would read the scriptures. And in your notebook, you would write down the letter H, which stands for highlight. And you, as you read, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I experience it all the time. Maybe you have too. As you're reading the Bible, there are verses that just seem to stand out to you. You guys experience that? They just kind of jump off the page at you. So what you would do is highlight those verses that stand out to you. Literally, H, highlight. Highlight the verses that stand out to you, and then take those verses and copy them down in your notebook. So you would take it from the pages of Scripture and write it out in your notebook to highlight those verses and to remember. So you might put a heading that tells you the name of the book, the passage you're studying, the chapters and verses that you read and really jumped out to you, and highlight those verses by writing them down as God causes them to stand out to you. Then the next letter is E. E is explain. Explain. And after you have written down those verses that stand out to you, that you've highlighted, you're going to write down E and explain what the text means. Okay. Not what it means to you, but what it means. Everybody with me? There's a popular idea in the world today that the Bible says different things to different people, but listen, the Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. Now, there may be individual application. We'll get to that, but we need to explain what it's actually saying. And how many of you learned the double use in school? You guys remember those? Who, what, when, where, why? And then how, which is not a W, but it was always included. You guys learned those in school? Maybe you learned them in a different order, but when I was in school growing up, my teacher taught me who, what, when, where, why, and how. Those are some really good questions to ask when you're studying the Bible. You can ask the question, who is speaking and who are they speaking to? You can ask the question, what are they saying? So I'm figuring out who's saying it, who they're saying it to, what they're saying. You can ask when and where. When was this written? Where was this written? Why is that important? Because some things are written in the Old Testament by Jews to Jews. And some things were written in the New Testament by Christians to Christians. And some things are written from God as prophets wrote to other nations. Everybody with me right now? All the different things in the Bible. It's different people speaking in different places in different times. Who, what, when, where, why? Why was it written? What is the purpose behind what God is saying in this passage of Scripture? How does it fit in with the verses before it and after it? Context is very important in Scripture. So I can see what's going on before. I can see what's going on after. So I'm going to take my notebook. I'm going to write out my highlight verses. I'm going to explain what the text is saying. So now you're trying to figure out what's going on in the text and what's actually happening there. But then we're going to get to the next letter. The A stands for apply. Apply. When you are having personal, quiet time with God, your personal devotion with God, this is really the heart of it. The application. What does this passage of Scripture teach me about God? What does this passage of Scripture teach me about God? What does this passage of Scripture teach me, about myself, about human beings? And how should my life be different because of these truths? I learned these questions from the Discovery Bible Study Method. This is a little separate from the Here Journal, but what does this teach me about God? What does it teach me about us? And how should my life be different because of these truths? If I've looked at a passage of Scripture, say Genesis 3, 1 to 15, and I see the temptation in the garden, and I see how Satan came and tempted Eve, and I see how she gave in, and how Adam gave in, and how the curse came, but then God gave a promise of redemption. I can explain what all of that means in the context, in the text, and who and what and when and where and why, all of that. But then I can also take application from that applies to me. And I can see how God is just, but he's also merciful and loving. And I can see how that I'm a sinner and I'm prone to fall into the traps of Satan. I can see how I need God to redeem me. And I can make application to my life by saying, I need to recognize that I have an enemy who's trying to mess me up, and I can look to God for help to avoid the snares of the devil. You guys with me? So I can take it, whatever passage I'm in, anywhere in the Bible, it means what it means, but then there's application that can be applied to my life. And God, through His Spirit, is going to teach me things and show me things that are going to help me walk with Him. Let's just talk for a second. The God who created everything, we read about it before we started, the God who created everything in the universe wants you to walk with Him every day. Isn't that amazing? Who am I that Thou art mindful of me? Who am I that God would care anything about me, have a desire to save me, much less have a relationship with me and fellowship with me day by day? Why would God even care? And yet He does. And He loves you. And He wants to walk with you. And He longs to have fellowship with you day by day. You say, well, man, there's a lot of us. Can He do that? He can have close, intimate, personal relationship with each and every person on the planet who trusts in Him. And He wants to. And He wants to. How should my life be different because of these truths? You can look at this application and everything that you've looked at, you've highlighted and you've explained. And now you look at this application and you can ask all kinds of questions about the text. But what you really want to get down to is how does this apply to me today? What does God want me to learn from this today? What is God showing me from these scriptures today? And what we're longing for, brothers and sisters, is that you and I would hear from God by His Spirit through His Word every day. That's the goal, that God would speak to us personally every day through His Word. Now, we come to the R. So it's highlight, explain, apply, and then the R is respond. I've examined the text to see what it means, and I've highlighted the things that stand out to me, and I've written down under apply, I've written down how it should apply to me today, but now's my time to respond. Now, this is really critical. You and I all the time hear from God's Word about what we shouldn't do, don't we? We're convicted about things that need to change. But if we just know that and we don't respond in obedience, then what have we gained? Well, then we've looked at the perfect law of liberty and we've gone away unchanged. Like we've looked in the mirror and we didn't change anything. We just went on our merry way, just like we were when we showed up. And God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be changed. He wants us to be conformed to His image. He wants us to be changed from glory to glory as we look into His Word. So now we're going to challenge ourselves with the R, the response. You're going to write down your response to what God has shown you that day. Now, this could be anything. This is you. This is personal. Maybe you're going to write down a prayer. And maybe you're going to say, God, help me to see and avoid the snares of the devil. God, help me not to give in to the temptation, not to give in to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Help me to overcome those. Maybe you write down a prayer. Maybe you write down a call to action. Maybe you're going to say, Lord, every day I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. This is where it's very personal for you. You respond. You write down your response to what God has shown you that day. God wants us to actively pursue Him. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. This isn't about health, wealth, and prosperity. This is about knowing Him. This is about knowing Him. And so He wants us to actively pursue Him. God has... I just want you to think about the Bible that many of you are holding in your hand tonight. Just think about what it took for that Bible to get to you. I mean, we're talking about a couple thousand years ago plus... almost 2,000 years ago plus, then we go all the way back through the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit of God spoke through men. He moved men who penned the words that we have here today. And God supernaturally preserved this word throughout the centuries. He allowed men to have the wisdom to invent things like the printing press. And now you just think about how easy it is to transmit these words around the globe today. God has provided for this word to be translated from Hebrew to Greek to all kinds of different languages around the world today, so people all over the globe can read the Bible in their own language. Isn't that awesome? I don't know if you're aware of this, but not everybody in the world speaks Oklahoman. A lot of people in this country don't speak Oklahoman. God has provided his word and he's preserved his word for us. He inspired men to pen these truths and he preserved these truths. And he speaks to each one of you individually through those very words. God, in his infinite wisdom and his supernatural ability and his sovereignty over all things through all time, was able to pen down words, listen, that God knew thousands of years ago that you would sit down tomorrow morning and open your Bible and read those words in your own very language so that God could speak to you truths that you need tomorrow. He did that for you. And he did it for people all over the planet. He wants you to know him. He wants you to hear truth from him. You, personally, God wants to speak to you. And some of you are like, I'm too old. I can't remember it. He wants to speak to you. And some of you are saying, I'm too young. But he wants to speak to you. Amen. And some of you are saying, I'm too busy. But he wants to speak to you. Amen. There's not a person in this room or watching online that God doesn't want to speak to. He wants to speak to all of us. And it's right there. It's right there waiting for you to open it up and read it. I pray that something said tonight will help you. Maybe you'll get a notebook or a journal and you'll use the hear journal method. Or maybe you got your own way of doing it. I just honestly, from the bottom of my heart as your pastor, I want to say this. I don't really care how you do it. I just care that you do it. But I do care that you do it. I desperately care that you will spend time in the Word of God on your own every day. And listen, some of you are going to mess up. You're going to start with great intentions tonight. You're going to say, I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to have time alone with God. And the whole world's going to fall apart around you. And you're going to miss tomorrow morning. And you're going to be like, oh, I just can't do it. Listen, if you mess up, you just get back up again. Did any of you ever learn to ride a bike growing up? Could you just raise your hand if you learned to ride a bike? Did you ever fall when you were learning to ride a bike? Like, I've never seen anybody in my life who got on a bike one time and just, whoosh, nobody. Maybe there is somebody, but most of us fell many times. And you know how you eventually learned? Because you just kept getting back up again. Well, riding a bike is fun, but it doesn't impact your eternity. Having daily time in the Word of God, you may fall, but get back up again because this matters in your walk with Christ. Let's stand together. Search the scriptures daily.